tonight on HBO. Two parts tonight and two tomorrow, correct? Right? Yes.
That's right.
Right. Now is it four parts? So now, is it kind of, because I guess there's obviously the two eras of Stax. And for those listening who aren't familiar, basically from the founding of the label circa 60 until 68, when they had this big upheaval and basically lost their entire back catalog and some of their artists to Atlantic Records. And then they miraculously rebuilt into something almost even bigger in the second part. And then that fell apart at the end too. So is that basically the way it's divided, the two distinct eras, or?
Yeah, we did divide it along those two distinct eras. And it's interesting to see the sort of growth and evolution of artists who come out of that first era. I'm thinking specifically of, you know, Isaac Hayes, who
yes.
he and his partner David Porter are like sort of the behind the scenes hit makers, you know, for acts like Sam and Dave, to name just one. And to see his evolution once there's out of, you know, necessity, breeding this tremendous opportunity, and to seeing him be able to have a more expansive approach to his music making, rooted in all the different flavors of music that he loved and admired, and that moment of kind of crisis creating opportunity for exploration and innovation. And I think also a real sense of, in that moment, you know, black music isn't monolithic. And so you see the label
sure.
taking on an even more expansive approach, which some people have said, you know, oh, they kind of moved beyond what was their kind of bread and butter and what they really knew best. But I think in that second chapter, the label is really questioning, like, why do we have to have boxes? And I think ultimately, you know, Al Bell dreaming of an opportunity to become a kind of major label, the likes of a CBS or RCA or Capitol, where you're not defined by any set kind of music that you are supposed to or allowed to put out. And so I really think it's an interesting chapter to think about this kind of more expansive vision that he had for himself, where he kind of wonders, like, well, he says in the film, why couldn't we be the big fish? And I think that's a real interesting question for today, as much as it is, you know, at the time that Al Bell was asking it.
Right, right. And it is, and it's funny too, that you mentioned the way, like, you know, people are like, well, why were they changing? I mean, that's where soul music was going. It went from, you know, always being affiliated with civil rights to being more, you know, with the arrival of the Staple Singers and just, you know, across soul music, just the statements of what was happening, like, in America, of just like, well, okay, we're done. You know, this is getting more out front and more front and center with the content of the songs themselves. And even at Motown, you had the Undisputed Truth and all, you know, they were moving in that political direction also. So it wasn't just Stax.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I think also, even when you think about, like, sonically what's happening on particularly the Staple Singers and Isaac Hayes' records, where they're just doing all kinds of really, like, innovative stuff with, you know, the palette of instrumentation that they're choosing to use and how big and expansive the songs can be. They are songs that seemingly, I mean, quite literally in Isaac Hayes' case, take up space because they are, 18 minutes long.
right.
But also, you know, they're just bigger and bolder, more, I think, assertive kinds of music. And of course, you know, not all of the Stax musicians are playing at that kind of scope and scale, but I do think that kind of music is kind of a reflection in a way of a kind of bolder, more assertive sense of self.
Right. I have a question here on our comments board from a listener, and I don't know if this is another documentary, Respect Yourself. I didn't see that, but
mm-hmm.
it says, how is this doc different than Respect Yourself? I mean, I haven't seen it, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, Respect Yourself is a documentary made by Morgan Neville and based on a book by Rob Gordon, local Memphian. I think it is, you know, music stories are kind of all have the nuts and bolts that they have because a story is a story. I think this one has a kind of, because we had 4 hours instead of a feature-length film, which is the time
right.
they had, we had a kind of bigger, broader story to tell. I think we're able to sort of be with these first-person witnesses at a time when they're kind of in a moment of reflecting on, you know, most of our subjects now are in their late 70s into their mid-80s, and so I think they're all kind of in a moment of deep reflection on the experiences of their lives, and some of that deep reflection reconsiders some of the ways they've talked about their experiences in the past. You know, I think that they're both great documentaries. If you've seen Respect Yourself and love it, you know, come check out ours. Get a deeper and longer tale.
Cool. And that's Soulsville, USA, Staxed tonight, first of four parts, or first two of four parts on HBO. And Jamila Wignut, you know, we're kind of up against it, so we have to run here. The show's ending at 3 o'clock, but I appreciate you coming on today. I'm sure it's been a crazy busy day for you, but what's the one thing you think that people who maybe even are familiar with the music or even very familiar, what's the one takeaway you think that might be a surprise or at least a different take that people might get out of your film?
I think that we've really started to see this music as the music of, you know, a kind of canon of American music. And I think that's awesome. And I think there's real reasons for that. The legacy is so strong. And fortunately, places like the Stax Museum are keeping that legacy alive and well. But there was a real effort. You know, this music came out of a kind of defiance against everything in its own time. And I think that's the important thing to see, again, as I said, a group of individuals who really believed in themselves, bet on themselves, were, you know, audacious enough to make music the way they wanted to. And I think understanding these now classic songs in
sure.
that context just gives them a deeper and richer meaning.
Yeah, well, I wish we had more time. You know, maybe if things settle down, if you want to come out, we can, like, play some records and just kind of take a deeper dive, you know. And so next time, if you get a chance. Well, you're based in New York, right? So
yep.
So if you have a chance, and you know, I just want to squeeze in too. The last thing is, there is a connection to WFMU because when I tagged you on Instagram and you responded that your editor is our old friend Tim Smith, who did, of course, the FMU documentary.
Yes, Tim Smith, Sex and Broadcasting. I think it's available on Netflix. You should absolutely also watch that. FMU is so great. In the spirit of that same kind of thing, open-mindedness, people,
right.
you know, pursuing their passions and intuition. So, yeah, check that out as well.
What was his role in your crew? He's an editor?
He was an editor. He was one of our editors.
Oh, awesome. Great. Well, Jamila, thanks so much for the time today. No, thanks for squeezing us in at the last minute. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. It's been so great to speak with you.
And hopefully, and good luck. I can't wait to see it. It's tonight, Stax, Soulsville, USA, on HBO, and... Well, and congrats and good luck with it.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. Take care.
Take care. Bye. Yep.
All right, you're listening to WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, New York City, and Rockland County at 91.9 FM and online at WFMU.org. Stay tuned because Jim Price is next. Sorry, running a little late here. You have your first song? Okay, hold on a second.
Thank you, Joe. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another segment of How Bands Got Their Name. Let's jump right in here and go to the top of the list. It's Foghat. I have to say that I don't know. So let's go back to the list here. Number two is the band's string-driven thing. The band's website says, "We love gadgets and blinking lights. By putting these things in a box out of reach, there's pain for Nancy." Well, that brings to a close this edition of How Bands Got Their Name. But don't give away your location. There's more radio coming right up. Filling in for Olivia today, one last time, it's Zoe B. All right.